Welcome to All Caring Conversations, your health and wellness matters. I'm your host, Tracy Dawn Brewer. Today I have the opportunity to speak with Rhiannon Nicholas, who we introduced to you in Episode 7 as our behavioral health nurse on our disease management team. Today we discuss seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD. I learned so much about this diagnosis, and I hope you come away from our discussion with more information and some possible talking points that you can review with your primary care physician.
Welcome to a new episode of All Caring Conversations. I'm excited to bring back Rhiannon Nicholas. She is an RN with All Care in disease management, behavioral health. She's a health coach, and she is on our program again today because we are going to discuss SAD. SAD is seasonal affective disorder. So Rhiannon, I just wanted to tell you thank you for bringing this information to our audience today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll probably pull you in for lots of conversations because you are a wealth of information. And I know we've discussed mental health before, and it's such a broad topic, especially in episode 7, but we wanted to really kind of zero in on some things that people either hear from friends and family, or they think they know, oh, I already know about that. And I wanted to highlight seasonal affective disorder specifically because here we are in Ohio, and this climate change happens, and the seasonal changes happen, the darkness comes earlier, and people feel like that's, you know, something that they experience, you know, this seasonal affective disorder. So can you share a brief overview of what SAD is and tell us just a little bit of basic information?
Absolutely. So today, the information I'm sharing is going to come from the American Psychiatric Association and the National Institute on Mental Health. So just to briefly outline, seasonal affective disorder, it's a form of depression, and it's associated with a seasonal type pattern. So for most people, symptoms begin in the fall, and we tend to see them improve in the spring months. And people generally report that their worst severity of symptoms are in January and February. And we think seasonal affective disorder is linked with these winter months when there's less daylight hours, and it's thought to be linked to a biochemical imbalance in the brain.
Wow, that's interesting. So how common is SAD?
Well, according to the American Psychiatric Association, about 5% of adults in the United States are going to experience seasonal affective disorder, and it's thought to last about 40% of the year for these people. It's more common in women. It's more common in people who live a little further from the equator. So in those winter months, they have shorter daylight hours. And it's more common in people who may also experience other forms of depression.
Oh, wow. Those are some interesting statistics. Do you have a list, or can you share maybe some common symptoms that we should watch out for, maybe not only in ourselves, but maybe our friends and family?
Yes. And I love the way you asked that question, because it's important to watch out for these things, not only in ourselves, but in people that we love and care about. So this information is important for us to know about mental health, and it's this specific topic is important for us to know. It can help us notice and identify changes in ourselves and know the appropriate next steps to take, but it can also help us recognize changes in loved ones and offer them the support they need. So symptoms for seasonal affective disorder are similar to that of people who have a diagnosis of major depression. They can range from mild to severe. Some people may experience all of these symptoms, where others may only experience a few. These include feeling sad, down, depressed, having less interest in things you would normally enjoy. So less interest in hobbies, less interest and socializing. We can see changes in appetite. And with seasonal affective disorder, sometimes we can see an increase in craving of carbohydrates. We can see changes in sleep patterns. So folks with seasonal affective disorder often have increased sleeping needs, but at the same time, they experience decreased energy levels and increased fatigue. So despite sleeping more, they are not feeling energized. We can see increased restlessness or pacing. And on the other end of that, some folks will have slowed movements or slowed speech. We have people that feel worthless or feelings of guilt. Some people have trouble concentrating or making decisions. And lastly, some people can have suicidal thoughts or preoccupied thoughts about death or harming themselves. So here you just kind of want to plug the new suicide hotline number that's available, which is 988. And this number is a 24/7 crisis number that can be called at any time. A lot of counties also have local 24/7 crisis numbers, and I encourage people to program these numbers in their phone. You never know if you or someone you know and love or someone you encounter may need help. And it's better to have one of these numbers and never ever need it than to be in a situation where someone needs help and you have to search for resources. So if you're worried about someone, check on them. I encourage people to not be afraid to ask how their friends and family are feeling. And if they say they're feeling depressed, to not be afraid to ask about suicidal thoughts or thoughts of self-harm. There's that big misconception that if we bring up this topic of suicide, that it will make someone want to act on these thoughts. But we do know that the opposite is actually true. Opening the door to talk about these things can often be a relief for the person experiencing those thoughts. And you could be the link to help get them the support and resources that they need.
Wow, that is such a range. It seems like there's, I don't want to just like put it into layman's terms, but it's like the severity. It can go from something that we almost all experience, you know, oh, I just feel, you know, down or tired, all the way to, you know, the suicidal thoughts. So it's just amazing to know that those are all symptoms and signs that could be brought on by this, or that this is a disorder that is so common. But you said the 5%, that's lower than I thought. And then you said the 40% that it lasts throughout the year, that's a larger number of time. So those are just fantastic statistics to think about.
It is. And there's a wide spectrum of these symptoms. And I think it's important to note that everyone has ups and downs. And yes, it's normal to have good days and bad days, but when these bad days are outnumbering the good days and they're starting to interfere with our everyday functioning, that's kind of when we can say, you know, this isn't typical for me, and it may be time to reach out for help.
Yeah, that's a great point. So you're saying SAD is treatable. Is that correct?
Yes. And there's a few treatment options. So uniquely to SAD, we can see good results with light therapy. So this is a box that you can have in your house. It emits this nice bright light, but it filters out harmful UV rays. You sit in front of it for a designated amount of time during the day. For most people, this is in the morning. And duration typically starts around 20 minutes. And a lot of people see improvement in their symptoms within 2 weeks. And it's recommended to continue with this, these sessions throughout the winter months in order to maintain those symptoms. But there's also other treatments available. We can use medications and therapy. Antidepressants can be really helpful in treating the symptoms of seasonal affective disorder, and counseling or therapy can also be helpful in learning how to cope with those negative emotions and negative thoughts. Sometimes they'll use vitamin D as a supplement. This might not be appropriate for everyone, so it's always good to talk to your doctor to see if this is a good option for you. And treatment's never one size fits all. So what helps one person may not help another. And it can often be helpful to use a combination of these treatments, so to get the best symptom results. But at the end of the day, it's always best to talk to your doctor to determine the best treatment plan for you.
Yeah, that was my next question. Like, who should you talk to? Of course, you want to confide in someone you're comfortable with talking to, friends and family, but to talk to a professional, that's helpful. And you can start with your primary care physician, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
That's correct. A great starting spot's your primary care doctor. They can first assess for any underlying medical conditions that may be contributing to your symptoms, rule those types of things out. They can assess your symptoms, the severity of your symptoms, recommend treatment, or maybe refer you to the appropriate mental health care professional or level of care. If someone is already active with a psychiatrist or a psychiatric nurse practitioner, you can also discuss all your symptoms with them.
Okay. So if you have, do you get diagnosed with seasonal affective disorder, or do you just feel like I'm experiencing this?
It's a diagnosis.
Okay.
It's a diagnosis.
Okay. So if you have that diagnosis 1 year, should you expect to experience it every year after that?
Not necessarily. Part of the criteria for being diagnosed with seasonal affective disorder is that you experience these depressive symptoms during these specific months for at least 2 consecutive years. But that doesn't mean you're going to have symptoms every single year.
Okay, that's interesting to note. And can children be diagnosed with seasonal affective disorder?
Yes, they can. It's not quite as common, but they can. If you're having any concerns about your child's mood or coping or mental health, regardless of time of year, it's really important to bring that up to their pediatrician. Children's mental and emotional health is so very important, and it should be given the same attention as their physical health.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you feel like, or is it been notated that you can actually have seasonal affective disorder any time of the year? It doesn't necessarily have to be in those darker months.
Yes, you can. It's much less common. There is what's called summer pattern seasonal affective disorder. Again, this is much less common.
Okay. So is that hereditary? Is that something you could inherit if your family member would have this?
So we can see it run in families sometimes, and it can be more common if you have a relative with mental illness for then you to have an increased opportunity to have seasonal affective disorder as well.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Altman Generations Program. This free membership for our 50-year-old and over community members connects you to events, social opportunities, health screenings, local business partner discounts, complimentary notary services, and so much more. Visit altman.org/generations to bring up more information.
So Rhiannon, is there a cause for seasonal affective disorder?
The exact cause is unknown, but there are some theories. They think that it could be related to chemicals in the brain that affect mood, like serotonin. Some of the research suggests that it could be related to an overproduction of melatonin. And then vitamin D deficiencies can be known to worsen some symptoms. So vitamin D is thought to help with serotonin activity. So that's where sometimes a supplement may be helpful. So yeah, there are several theories, but the exact cause is not known.
Interesting. Now, isn't melatonin the over-the-counter, like you can get to help you sleep?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But our body also naturally produces it.
Okay. Interesting. So this is just going to bring up lots of questions that people could go and ask their primary care physician, because this is just fascinating to me.
Yes. Any concerns, always talk to your provider.
Is there a medical test for seasonal affective disorder?
There's no specific medical test to diagnose seasonal affective disorder, but there are criteria that need to be met. So this includes having symptoms of depression, like we talked about a little bit ago, and having these symptoms during these specific months for at least 2 years. And again, you may not have these symptoms every year, but in order to get the diagnosis, you need to have them at least 2 years in a row.
Okay, that's interesting. I never knew about that 2-year mark. Mm-hmm. And that I like to, you know, be able to share that information with everyone so they're not immediately like self-diagnosing going, I have seasonal affective disorder. I'm going to go get vitamin D. So this is wonderful information. Is there anything that we can do to prevent seasonal affective disorder, not only in ourselves, but in our family and our friends?
So prevention is always optimal when we're talking about medical health or mental health. Anytime we have the opportunity for prevention, that's key. We may not be able to fully prevent symptoms of seasonal affective disorder, but if you've been diagnosed, you may be able to anticipate the onset of those symptoms with the seasonal changes. So that being said, you might be able to start your treatments before symptoms start. So start using that light box or start counseling, or maybe increase your visit frequency with your counselor, or make an appointment with your mental health provider or your primary care doctor. It's important to talk about our mental health, and I encourage everyone to do so with their doctors. It's important, and you are important.
Right, absolutely. And this seems like a perfect example of something that if you're concerned with, if you enjoy like journaling to write down like how you feel and when you were feeling this and just to see if there's a pattern. I mean, me being a creative person, I'm just trying to think of ways like I can identify this in myself when I go to talk to my primary care physician and like take that information. Like this is how I've been feeling. And this was the time of year or the time of day or, you know, something like
that. Yes. I talk to folks a lot about going into their doctor's appointments prepared, whether it's a medical or a mental health appointment, but having a diary can be quite helpful of your symptoms, how you've been feeling, the severity of those symptoms, how often these symptoms are occurring. And that way it's something to work with. And again, whether it's mental health or physical health condition, having that down on paper can make it a little more tangible and make treatment options a little bit easier to look into.
Yeah, I love that idea too. Now, if our members need to talk to you, is this something that you're able to talk to our members in regards to? Is this part of your wheelhouse, Rhiannon?
Yes, it is. Like I said, the symptoms of seasonal affective disorder are much like symptoms of depression. So there's lots of coping skills and things we can do to help with those symptoms. And again, a medical professional or a mental health professional can help with determining the best course of treatment as well.
Sure. Sure. Well, I really appreciate especially the organizations that you highlighted as your resources. We're going to definitely share those in our show notes with this episode and the hotline, that number of, you know, programming that into your phone to be prepared for anything. That is a great idea. And I love that you shared that's something everybody should do. So you're just, you know, ready if you would need it. And we'll also, if somebody would happen to have a question directly about seasonal affective disorder or working with our wellness department, they can email us at whereyoumatter@altcare.com and we can get that information to them. Because that's what we're here for, is to share all the knowledge that our team has. And we are just so fortunate to have you. I just really appreciate your time and everything that you shared, because everybody just seems, and I don't mean to just bulk everybody together, but it just seems like this is such a common issue. And people were just like, man, you know, it's just these seasons. This is just, you know, everybody experiences this, but you've really pinpointed some symptoms and things to look for and ways to, you know, help ourselves and others. And I think that that's tremendous.
Yes. Thank you again for having me. And I do. I think it's really important information. And again, please don't be afraid to talk to your doctors if you're having any concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again, Rhiannon. I know we'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Mm-hmm. Bye.